My name is Fran. I spent £50 on my hair.
£50?
I go places independently.
Hello, my name is Ewan, and apparently my train fare costs £400 or $400. Can you believe that? And it's like, I'm overdrawn.
I'm Stuart. I'm leaving home for the very first time.
This show is about money
and independence.
What I want, any old time. I said I'm free, do what I want, any old time.
Carousel Radio.
I'm Maria Mew from the Outlook Foundation. I'm the managing director here. The foundation has been going for nearly 20 years. The first building was Outlook House, which is a residential unit for 12 people. And over the years, we have increased those to two other houses, which are supported living houses, one of which is a semi-independent unit where we assess people's skills to become more independent, and then they would move on to more supported living from the community. So we have another house in Brighton that have flats in there and staff support through 9 till 5. It started through the wife of the former St John's headmaster, St John's School in Brighton, Mrs. Forster. So she was concerned about what happened to the young people after 19 and their employment. Jean Marshall was on the board of directors at St John's School. So Jean Marshall picked that up and then fundraised and looked at the best way to provide further opportunities for adults with disabilities. So Jean started all of that running probably 25 years ago. The general aim of the Outlook Foundation is to give people the best opportunities they can to reach their full potential. Generally, somebody's journey with us would start coming into Outlook House. They would then look at all their life skills. We would be doing work around what they're achieving, the independence. We would then think about moving them on to Jean Marshall House, which, if you like, is the halfway house. That's where people have got the skills to start thinking about independent living, but still need that slightly extra support.
My name is Ben Reynolds and I'm at Jean Marshall House. I've been here since 2006. There are 12 rooms altogether. The house is old, but I'm in a new part.
Hello, I'm Mick Cummins, Michael Cummins, and I'm one of the managers at Jean Marshall House. It used to be a residential home, but now it's supported living, which means the tenants have a lot more independence and also a lot more responsibility. They have to take care, a lot more care of their finances. So there's more budgeting because they do their own shopping, which means they have to make shopping lists and work out how much their shopping is going to be. So that generally there's a lot more involvement. The house is predominantly for young adults. So they'll be from kind of 20 to, I think some of them are in their early 30s.
I'm Fran and we are going to go on a little tour of my house. And here we are in my bedroom. We've got my kitchenette, my room, and my ensuite bathroom.
They all have their own room, and it's all ensuite. In the case of Fran, she has her own kitchen. And the others share a big kitchen downstairs. It's three cookers, so there's plenty of capacity.
And this is where the tenants do their cooking. We've got three ovens, a fridge, and a freezer. We've also got the kitchenette as well, which has got a dishwasher and a sink.
We try to encourage them to be as independent as possible, to make choices and do what they want to do.
And we're going to go through to the lounge where we have got the TV, photos. This is our conservatory. We've got lots of tables and chairs. And this is Billy Boy.
Meow.
He won't meow. In the lounge, we watch TV and do life skills.
Yeah, there are lots of life skills. There's a room clean, a bathroom clean, a budgeting life skill. One's around food shopping because that involves meal planning and storing food properly and cooking itself. Travelling independently to various places. Safety to make sure that they're safe in the things they choose to do. We have a life skill folder and all the life skills are in the folder. And every week we go through them and tick them off and make sure that the tenants are progressing on their road towards independence.
Staff help me with doing my temperatures in my fridge and my freezer. They help me by supporting me to places and to appointments and help me do my life skills.
We are unique in that we offer the life skills. We actually are continuing to teach and educate, and we actually offer the one-to-one education, so literacy and numeracy and home economics, or food tech as it's called now.
We're just going down the stairs now. This is the staff office, which my key worker is in.
Hello?
This is the staff office where we get support sometimes.
They're all fairly independent, but not 100%, and that's where we come in. We're there to back them up and to encourage them towards that final bit on their road towards independence, if possible, if they can achieve it. There's always staff team around, and if they have any problems with anything at all, we're here to help. For instance, they might say they've had a problem with an individual out in the community, and we go through it and assess whether it was a real problem or the degree to which it was a problem and if we can help in any way. But we've had to go and help Fran get some travel insurance because she's going to Crete in 2 weeks' time, and she couldn't really do it on her own, so we had to support her with that and get some euros.
I'm Philip. I'm one of Fran's support workers here at G Marshall House. And I've been with the guys now 2.5 years. If they start a new activity or anything, then we'll trouble with them the first couple of times, make sure they know the route that they're going to, they know the alternatives, and that they feel comfortable in travelling independently.
Yeah, well, some go to the pub independently, and some go to that. Of course, we encourage them not to drink too much. And some people go to the cinema independently. And they usually phone and let us know, for instance, they say, I'm at the cinema, or we're leaving now. So we're able to monitor exactly their whereabouts.
The difference between residential care and supported living is residential care is funded by the borough that the family home is in. Supported living is funded by where that individual lives, resides. So we've got people from Hertfordshire, Croydon, all over in the residential setting. If we were to move them on, then Brighton and Hove would have to agree to pick up the funding, which can be a stumbling block, because obviously Brighton and Hove are very saturated with funding. So that's when the issue arises, that people then may actually have to go back to their family borough for supported living. People come to us by being referred by the boroughs that they live in. So they would be funded by those boroughs and make contributions through their own benefits.
Well, they all get received benefits from the government, and that enables them to live in this home and pay for support. Some like to keep their money with them and their cards with them, whereas most people would like to keep it nice and safe and secure in the office. They have the option.
From G Marshall House, we would look at people going on to something like Gaynor Forster House, which is self-contained one-bedroom flats with minimal staff support. The problem we have at the moment is that we have a lot of people in the G Marshall House, so that's full. And Gaynor Forster House goes up to 64 because our services go up to 64 and then elderly services kick in. So we're stopped at the moment at Gaynor Forster House because nobody's going to be moving on. We want to move people on from G Marshall House that are ready to be independent, and we need to think about how we do that and whether that is through rental or purchasing. So I've been here 19 years, so I've seen the first batch go right through and are still living with us in Gaynor Forster House in one-bedroom flats. So come been with us since they were 18. So they're now in their 40s. Yeah, and we've got another couple that lived with us here, and she continued to move through the system. They got married a few years ago, big, beautiful wedding at Stammer House, and now live in a flat together on their own with very minimal support going in.
I feel very excited living here because I go out independently. It's a nice, safe place to live because at night, when all the other staff go home, the member of staff sleeps in, they lock a door at night. So this is Fran Reynolds closing the door at G Marshall House.
Bye. Carousel Radio presents Fib or Fact. Some truths and some lies about...
money!
Must be funny.
So welcome to Fact or Fib with a twist. So each member of the radio team will answer fact or fib to three statements about money. Well, they must be quick as they're just 30 seconds to do it in. The loser will be thrown in the freezing cold sea, which is icy cold. So, Fran, we start with you. You ready?
Yeah.
And start the clock, please. Money can zap garden pests. Fact or a fib?
Fact.
It's a fact. Pennies buried in a garden will repel slugs, which get electric shocks from touching copper and zinc. The most expensive champagne in the world costs $1.8 million. Fact or a fib?
I reckon it's a fact.
It's a fact. The bottle has an 18-carat white gold logo and a 19-carat diamond in the centre. The US Mint once considered making banana-shaped coins. Fact or a fib?
Fact.
No, it's a fib. They considered making coins shaped like a donut. So Fran got 2 points. And Stuart, you ready then? Yeah, start the clock. The most expensive thing ever built is Fran's garden shed. Fact or a fib?
That's a fact.
It's a fib. It's the International Space Station, which costs $150 billion. The most expensive pizza in the world costs $500. Is that a fact or a fib?
I would say that's a fact.
It's a fib. So Nino's restaurant in New York City features caviar and lobster pizza that actually costs $1,000. Oh, before the invention of money, early civilizations used animal droppings instead. Fact or fib?
That's a fib.
It's a fact. People use bat poo instead of notes and coins. Oh, God. Stuart got no points on that round. 0 points. Oh. That's the loser, so Stuart goes in the water, I'm afraid. Sorry, Stuart.
One, two, three.
Stuart, you're bobbing around in the sea. What can you see down there?
Your house.
So what would you like to find from these answers here?
Nino's pizza.
That's all right, Fran, to let you off as a free pizza, all right?
Thank you.
That's all right. So join us next time for another game of Fact or Fib.
Carousel Radio presents Fib or Fact. Some truths and some lies about...
money!
Thomas Paine was born in Norfolk in 1737. He was an Englishman who helped create the United States of America. In England, he was a school teacher, a bridge designer, a tax officer, and a rope maker. In 1768, he moved to Lewes in Sussex.
He ran a tobacco shop. In 1774, he lost his business and moved to London, where he met American ambassador Benjamin Franklin. Soon after, he set sail to the Americas. At the end of the journey, he was so sick that he got carried off the boat. When he recovered, he became the editor of a magazine and wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense. It was passed around and often read aloud in pubs and helped spread the idea of America becoming independent from Great Britain. It encouraged America to join the rebel army. He wrote,
"Tyranny like hell, it's not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder this conflict, the more glorious the triumph."
John Adams said,
"Without the pen of the author of Common Sense, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain."
Common Sense sold 500,000 copies and Thomas Paine became known as the father of the American Revolution. He became a friend of George Washington, who went on to become the first president of the United States. After America became a country, people turned their backs on him because of his views against Christianity and arguments with George Washington. In 1809, Paine died at the age of 72 in Greenwich Village, New York City. Only 6 people attended his funeral. Of his funeral, which was written,
"Thomas Paine had passed a legendary limit of life. One by one, most of his old friends and acquaintances had deserted him. His services forgotten, his character blackened. He was a victim of the people, but his convictions remained unshaken. He was still a soldier in the army of freedom, and still tried to enlighten and civilize those who were impatiently waiting for his death. On the 8th of June 1809, death came, death almost his only friend."
Oh, Thomas!
10 years after he died, his bones were dug up and returned to England by a writer who wanted to give him a proper burial. However, those bones were lost and never reburied.
The inventor Thomas Edison said,
"I've always regarded Payne as one of the greatest of all Americans."
In 2002, Payne was voted one of 100 greatest Britons in a public poll conducted by the BBC.
This story is called The Hysterical Return of David Lavis by Johnny Schachter. Lavisland was founded in 2010 by David Lavis, a part of eastern Romania and eastern Bulgaria, which borders, united, and became Lavisland. Because Donald Trump lost the 2016 U.S. national election, it was agreed a small region of the United States would be separated and become Trump land. Oregon, the state of Washington, Idaho, and Montana united into one country called Trump land. David Lavis was furious that someone so right-wing could pull off such a trick as to create a new country. So Prime Minister David Lavis of Lavisland declared war on Trumpland. Let me explain. Lavisland is a democratic republic. Because part of their charter is very pro-civil rights, the people in the Lavis country were enraged when they found out Trumpland united. But Deputy Prime Minister Jesse M. pointed out, "We cannot invade Trumpland without getting the United States of America involved. They might do something to retaliate." Prime Minister Lavis said, "I'm sure that the young, attractive, nice, fine lady, Hillary Clinton, can help us. She is very pro-civil rights." So Jesse phoned President Clinton and said, "I am Jesse M., and I think you are real cool, and I like Led Zeppelin. Can I invade Trump land? Alex W. is the Secretary of State and will make sure the United States will not be bombed. Do you like Led Zeppelin?" Hillary replied, "I don't like Donald Trump either. You have my permission to invade Trump land. I also like Led Zeppelin." Alex W. picked up the phone and said, "Hi. Really groovy, hi, cool mama. Well, how you doing? Like real cool, like far out, man. I'm happy to accommodate you and make sure none of the states in the United States get bombed or invaded." So it was decided that on March the 24th, 2017, Trumpland would be invaded and everybody was delighted. Also, March the 24th is Johnny Schachter's birthday. Well, the cat was out of the bag. Someone tipped off Donald Trump that Mr. Lavis was going to bomb Trumpland. So Mr. Trump left Trumpland and sneaked his way to live in Edmonton, Alberta. This is where Johnny Schachter used to live. So Donald Trump found and lived in 8719 Saskatchewan Drive. This is where Johnny Schachter used to live, from 1965 to 1980. Because Donald Trump had a hidden tracking device attached to him, the FBI found out where he was. As soon as he got to the house and went inside, the house was bombed. Well, there was no more house and no more Donald Trump. When Alex W. found out, she called Johnny and said, "I'm sorry, Johnny, but to politically assassinate Donald Trump, we had to bomb 8719 Saskatchewan Drive. I have no idea how he got there." Johnny said, "That's okay. I'm happy Donnie is dead. Also, are we still invading Trump land?" Well, since Trumpy is dead, they voted for a new leader, so there is no need to invade. The new leader is Mark R., so there will be a peaceful coexistence. I said, "I am happy," and now everybody in the U.S., England, and Trumpland were all very happy. Lavisland exists forever. Is blowing in the wind.
The answer is blowing in the wind.
Gracias a todos. Muchísimas gracias. Muy buenas noches.
Praise the Lord.
For some people with learning disabilities, it's difficult to get their independence. Stuart's been living at home with his mother, sharing a bedroom with his brothers. He's now in his mid-30s and looking to move out for the first time to live with carers. Here is Stuart's audio diary on the process.
I am hoping to move, and it's going to be a good fun. And I've already seen the place twice, what it's like. And I've already got the space, I've already got the room, and then I'm hoping to have the funding there for that. Where I am at the moment is I'm in Portslade. I'm with my mum at the moment, and when I go across to Hollingbury, I'll be with my carers. The reason why I'm moving, because I wanted a better space for me to do things in, and it does evolve around a little bit independent. Because for some time now, I've always wanted Gail to come round so we can spend some time together and things. Gail is my girlfriend and I'm engaged to her. We're wanting to go out, go for a walk, that sort of thing, and watch DVDs together. The major concern is not, I haven't really, because I've seen the place itself, I've seen the lounge, I've seen the bedroom, I've seen the whole house. The only concern I want now is for the funding to be in place now for when I get there. Who's involved at the moment is myself, my mum, there is a social worker involved, and then it's with the Shared Lives team. They deal with all housing. They look into it, that sort of thing, and they get funding for you. Because this is what I've been wanting for many years now, I wanted, and I was short for space, and I'm wanting a bigger space to do the things I'm wanting to do so I can get more independence. As I'll be able to have my girlfriend around as much as I can, and my friends to be around as well, if as much as I want, basically. Because at the moment, I'm not really getting friends coming around to see me, and I'm not really having my girlfriend around to see me.
Stuart, it's September. How are you getting on with your move?
It's coming on okay, but I am still waiting. I'm still waiting for that, which is a lot of it's down to social services.
How long will you have to wait for social services?
Well, first thing I have to wait for is the exact date and when I can move. And I'm waiting for the funding to come through, which they always take forever. But I've had loads of meetings, it's all agreed, they've all said yes. This process has been taking for ages now, forever. It's been taking ages and ages and ages, and I keep asking the staff about it. They don't know, so all I can do is wait. That's all I can do now. And there's carers I've chosen, which I want to be with, which they're quite good. They are very new carers, they've never done it before. They're very well trained to look after people like me.
Is there anything social services can do to make moving out easier for people with learning disabilities?
Well, there's one option they can do is speed up the process very quick, which that'd be good. And then that way, once it's all gone through and they know they're moving and they got the date, then they can start packing and move.
Would you do this process again?
Once I've moved, that's it. I won't ever move again. Once the process goes through, that's it. You can't go back to your original house. You can visit, but you can't go back. Once you've got your funding, that's it. You're out of there. But it still doesn't mean you can't go back and visit your parents or whoever.
How do you think this might change your life?
Things that might be different is I'll be able to have friends round. Be able to have my girlfriend around as well. That would be different. I'd be able to go out a lot more, that sort of thing.
Well, good luck, and we hope you get your independence soon.
Thank you, Fran.
In September 2016, Stuart told us the good news that he was finally moving out of his mum and dad's.
The first new update I have now is next Thursday, and my funding has come through now, which I was been waiting for. The whole process and talking about it, it took from 2010. It had been talked about hundreds of times, loads and loads and loads of times. And in September 2016, I will be moving. This is the thing I've been talking about since 2010. The process of it I experienced to get there and to get this far is very, very slow, and you have to wait a bit, and then you have to have loads more meetings, that sort of thing.
Stuart has now moved out and is enjoying his new independent life in his new house.
Congratulations, Stuart, on moving into a new home.
We may expect quite a lot of noise.
You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this!
What the hell is that?
What's that sound? What's that sound?
Hello, I'm Ewan.
Hello, I'm DJ Cranberry, aka Fran.
I'm Stuart.
Okay, so this month it's on the subject of independence. I'm going to play you all four songs. These songs are from countries that have become independent countries, and each song is about a particular subject or has a theme. I'm going to give you a choice of two possible themes and see if you can have a guess about what they might be about. Here we go, this is the first one then. It's a song from Jamaica, and Jamaica became independent in 1962. It's by a gentleman called Lord Fly, who was a mento musician. Mento is a traditional sort of folk music from Jamaica before sort of reggae came along. And it's a song called Why.
The worries and the troubles of this blooming life make me say why. You figure and you fret, you even cuss your wife, and then you why. There is none of this, none of that, and what a rule. There's none like a convent school. For every time you turn, you feel like a fool. It is why.
Maybe, is it about someone moving house?
Why. I stand up in a line until I catch a fight. It was why.
You'd have think it was someone who's actually originally in Japan or Japanese, because it's...
Does it sound like Japanese to you?
Japanese, well, translated into English, but it's Japan sort of thing, so...
Well, it's a Jamaican song, but it's sung in that sort of patois, their own version of English, so it does sound...
Patois!
Stuart, what are your thoughts on this song?
It makes us feel old.
Makes you feel old?
Yes. And it sounds old, and people don't play it as much anymore, do they?
So, is that song about going on holiday, or is it about beating up a man at cinema?
Going on holiday.
Yeah, I reckon it's the same, maybe.
Beating up a man, probably.
Well, it sort of is about beating up a man at a cinema. It's about that and other things. So it's called Why, and it's a song about troubles in life, things that annoy you, get on your nerves, get you down a little bit. And there's one lyric I'm going to read to you. I take my girl to the pictures last Sunday night. I was why. I stand up in a line until I catch a fight. It was why. One boy pushed my girl. He said, sit down, child. My hair stood on end and my blood started to boil. I beat him up and licked him down. Inside my head, it was why.
Really good.
It's a happy sounding song, isn't it? And so you would have thought it was about something happy. In fact, it's about him moaning about things that happened to him.
What, in Japan?
No, in Jamaica, Ewan.
Jamaica!
This next song is from a country called Chad in Africa, which became independent in 1960. It's called the Buala Dance. Here it is.
Again, based in Africa, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
And, again, another jolly one, would you think?
Do you think it sounds jolly?
Ba-ba!
That's what I think it might be sounded a bit, but...
Actually, it sounds like people are dancing.
Yeah, well, the song's called Buala Dance, so you're right there. Stuart?
I would find it's a quite dancey song because it's got the violin in the background.
Yeah, it has got sort of a stringed instrument there. Okay, so that's the Buala dance from Chad. Is it about prayer or about marriage?
Prayer.
I'd think a prayer myself. But...
Stuart?
Marriage, I think.
Looks like Stuart's got another point there, because it's actually...
So someone falling in love, is that the...
Yes, it is. It's someone falling in love, going and asking his girlfriend's father if he's allowed to marry her, which seems very old-fashioned now, but it's been a tradition all over the world for a long time.
It does.
And the father says, don't ask me, you're your own people, do what you like. Which is quite a modern attitude for a song which presumably is quite old. Okay, this one's from Estonia, which became independent in 1991, more recently. It's by a band called Unskadad, who are a folk band in Estonia, and it's called Ahoy Merame.
Ahoy, ahoy, meremes, meremes, ahoy, ahoy.
It makes me think of when I'm on a cruise.
On maailmas veel, on maailmas veel, nii palju.
Remind you of the Wurzels?
It makes you of holidays.
Is that song from Estonia? Is it about going to war or getting drunk?
Getting drunk.
Yeah, possibly that, but I guess Stuart's going to say the opposite.
Bit of both.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Well, it's actually about going to war. The lyrics are Estonian civilians wishing the soldiers from Estonia well when they go off to war. Okay, right, last song. Right. This song's from Samoa. Became independent in 1976. I'm going to try and pronounce this. It's called Pese Olefa Aula Fulegia, which is called Song of the Inauguration.
It makes it feel like a street party.
Doesn't mind that you want to actually join in with everyone else there.
It's quite infectious, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, so that's from Samoa.
Samoa.
Is it about harvesting food or opening a new church?
Opening a new church.
Yeah.
Harvesting food, maybe. Oh,
okay. Stuart's 100% record is gone. It's actually about opening a new church.
Oh. Hey! So we're in the game.
So it's a song of dedication sung to celebrate the opening of a new church building. This one was composed and sung on the occasion of the Loan Viljamu building in Apia, August 1982. So that recording's from 1982. There you go, that was What's That Sound?
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 This is the end of the show. The next show will be all about roots and ancestries.
Thanks to Stuart for keeping us posted and updated on his move.
Thank you to Ria, Mick and Phil, where I live at the Outlook Foundation. Ewan, what are you doing now?
Well, right now when this is finished, we're going out to meet by Nelly Goulding single.
How are you getting there?
I'm going to go there on the tandem if I don't have an accident.
Bye.